Welcome to Penalty Box Radio Live. I'm your host, Sean Smith, here with my co-host, Ann Kimmel, also with Penalty Box Radio. We have a very special half-hour show tonight, two segments and a ton to cover. So we're going to get right into it. Just heads up early on, Vanderbilt basketball coming on after us at 7:30. That's why our show is shortened. Nothing amiss there. We're going to get right to it. Quickly, though, we have to make nice with Ann. So, Ann, how you doing?
Doing great, ready to jump in
hey,
and
man,
talk
well,
hockey.
We're going to cover two big topics tonight. One per segment with very little review of the past few weeks. Our first topic, of course, with the Predators improving from last in the league to fighting for a wild card spot, is this real? Meaning, is this a real thing? Is this team for real? Is this going to happen? Is this a contender? And of course, our second topic, which is what has to happen to make it or break it, which we'll get into in the second segment. We want to jump right in. So, Ann, is this real? Are the Predators contenders?
I think this is a great question, but we do have to be very specific, Sean. What do you mean by contenders? Because that's two different things. Going all the way.
Stanley Cup contenders.
I think the Nashville Predators are contenders for a potential wild card spot. I don't think that this is a team that is a contender for a serious playoff push. This is not a team that I think can beat a Colorado, a Carolina, a Dallas, a Tampa Bay. They are improving.
Okay, so improving, the reality here is what you're saying is not that this team is suddenly going to go from worst to first, but that they're going to go from worst to maybe making the playoffs. And not making a long run in the playoffs.
I agree. I think their ceiling is probably making the playoffs. I don't see this being a team that is going to make a deep push in the playoffs.
So I'm going to say this just up front. I'm 100% with you on this. I mean, I know that maybe some people think radio shows are better when the people disagree with things, but this is honest hockey talk, correct?
Correct.
We've got to be honest. And I think it's worth taking a look. If you were to magically transplant the Predators from the Western Conference to the Eastern Conference, well, it's not necessarily a bellwether for success, but it's worth noting that they're shining in this conference, right?
Correct.
If you move them over to the Eastern Conference, they're last. They're not in a potential wild card spot. They're last place in the Eastern Conference. That means that what is wild card worthy in the Western Conference is bottom of the heap in the Eastern Conference. And I think it's important big picture wise, you know, not the immediate future, what happens over the next few months, but big picture wise, I just don't think that's enough to say, yep, this is it. The team's fine. Everything's going to be good.
I agree with you. I think where they are and the way the Western Conference and the Central Division is shaking out is working in Nashville's favor. But what we are seeing is real. We are seeing a better Nashville Predators team. The last 20 games, they've gone 13-7. The previous 20 before that, from October 13th to November 24th, this was a team that was 5-12-3. So if you are feeling better about the Predators, your feelings are correct. They have improved in goals for per game by an entire goal statistically. Goals against, they are giving up fewer goals against. The goal differential, they were minus 29 in the previous 20 games from October 13th to November 24th. Right now in this 20-game stretch, they are plus 7. So, yes, the Nashville Predators are playing better. This is a better team.
I mean, it's a dramatically better team.
It's not just
kind of better. I don't want to say a 180 because they haven't gone, again, from worst to first. It's a 180 from where they were to where they are now. What do you think you say was kind of the spark plug for this movement that really, when things turned around, what happened about 20 games ago that led everything on this path?
You know, I think one thing that we absolutely have to take note of, and I don't think it's coincidental, is that the better performance coincided with the return of a healthy Roman Josi to this Predators lineup. And statistically, we're going to dive into some other things, but I think that is something we have to point out. Roman Josi, healthy and back in the lineup.
And I don't think, if you look at the beginning of the season, I feel like the idea was that they wanted to pair Josi with Haig. Haig was injured. And then, of course, Yossi's injured. And I don't really know that the team had a clear – I know they knew what they wanted to do defensively, but I don't think they had a clear idea of what their defensive core looked like until Yossi came back and they got a clear view of what was going on, which is, it kind of leads to the movement of Spencer Stastny out. And clearly they think that Willsby is a better long-term fit. You mentioned stats, Ann.
Yeah.
Okay,
I think
talk to me about some numbers.
Well, I think that there are some very specific reasons why we are seeing Nashville perform better. The first I want to point out is goaltending. And a lot of this is about UC Saros, but put a pin in Eustace Onanen. I know Saros has had a couple of rough outings in some of these games, but statistically, when you look at games against Utah, Minnesota, Colorado, when we look at Eustace Onanen against the Vegas Golden Knights, the goaltenders helped, quote unquote, steal those games. The Nashville Predators were outchanced in high quality chances. They were outchanced in expected goals for. So you are seeing the goaltenders really help win games, coming up with big saves. And that is leading to wins. We didn't necessarily get that at the beginning of the season. So credit to the goaltending for being able to help Nashville get these wins. They have been very, very good in games against very, very good teams.
Now, it's not just goaltending. I mean, there's more going on.
There is more going on. And I think this is a really exciting thing we're getting ready to talk about. You are getting some of your best play from certain players. Of course, we want to shout out Ryan O'Reilly. We'll circle back to him in the second segment. 23 points in the last 20 games. But Sean, we must talk about the fact that Steven Stamkos
has
23 points in his last 20 games played, including, for fun, his 600th career goal, which they are celebrating before tomorrow night's home game against the Islanders. So get there early. But Steven Stamkos, we are seeing the Steven Stamkos we were excited about on July 1st, 2024.
That's right. And I think that's the realest thing. If we're talking what's real, I think it's the realest thing we're seeing Stamkos is being that Steven Stamkos. I think he's found a spot where he's comfortable with his role on the team. He's comfortable with his role in the room, and he feels like he fits. And you're starting to see him really perform that way as well.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of credit goes to Ryan O'Reilly, but a lot of credit to Steven Stamkos. This has not been an easy walk. He had a very difficult start to the season, but you are seeing Steven Stamkos, the name in capitals. Also want to point out a young player who deserves some credit here. And friends, we got to talk about Luke Evangelista. 20 points in these last 20 games. And here's what I'm loving, Sean, about Luke Evangelista. You're seeing big improvement in his play. You're seeing him play with confidence, but you are seeing him play with consistency. And that is a sign of a player transitioning from a young player in the league to maturing into being an NHL player. It's the consistency from Evangelista game in and game out that I am really excited about.
And you're also seeing a forward that was drafted by Nashville actually making it through that handcuff stage of playing on the fourth line and actually getting some time in the top six and being given the chance to play with more skilled players. And you're seeing that finally pay off, which I think we've been on that roller coaster so many times. I could start naming players, but this is a 30 show. So yeah. I'm just happy to see that even despite the drama at the beginning of the season, that this, I guess if you wanted to call it a gamble, I don't think it was. But I think the roll of the dice on giving Luke Evangelista his money is paying off.
Absolutely agree. And I think you make a great point. It's very good to see a forward that Nashville has invested in, has drafted in, make that transition to becoming somebody who is going to be a foundational part of this team moving forward. Also, shout out to this team as a whole, because this is a team that you are seeing that resiliency that has been missing, where when something went wrong, it kind of rocked them. This is a team that really has done a great job being resilient in games where they've gone down. Put a pin in that. We'll circle back in the second. But this is a team that in the third period, they rank 11th in the league when it comes to goals for. They are not giving up in these games. They are finding ways, especially in the second and third periods, to win and compete against some really good teams. There is no quit in this team. And Andrew Brunette has given a lot of credit to the locker room, to the relationships that they're building. And I think that that is hard to quantify, but very, very important in this success.
And I think you see that come through. I think, you know, Stamkos blocking shots and Blankenberg laying out to just get a stick on a puck to tip it out of the zone, things like that. And you're the return of Cole Smith. And I think all of the flobber knockers the other night, you know, with Smith getting his revenge on the guy that took him out. And then, of course, that was a fun game. I'll just say that.
It was a fun game.
All of the fighting and the anger, but you're seeing a team that is playing for each other. They're standing up for each other. They're not willing to just let things happen. And I think when you allude to that tendency to get down early and kind of lay off and go, well, I guess we're beat. You're not seeing that anymore. I want to see this team play. So if you're looking as a casual fan and you're hearing about how bad things were going, this is the kind of thing that makes you go, oh, I should probably turn that game on, or I should probably get tickets to go down and watch, which I think is what you obviously want. You want butts in the seats, right?
Absolutely.
So, when we come back, we're going to talk about what will make or break this reality. Of course, we've already defined what that reality is. First, I want to tell you about Tennessee Valley Paving. Tennessee Valley Paving is a third generation family-owned and operated company serving Middle Tennessee since 1957. They handle everything from driveway and parking lot paving to municipal and commercial projects, and even specialty work like tennis courts and aviation pads. They're bonded, hold an unlimited license, and ready to serve your paving and sealing needs. Call Tennessee Valley Paving today at 615-794-2351 or visit TennesseeValleyPaving.com. Tennessee Valley Paving, serving the region with quality you can count on. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio Live. Looking for the best spot to catch every game? Then head over to East Nashville's favorite sports bar, Beyond the Edge. With over 30 TVs and 25 beers on tap, you'll never miss a moment. They've got you covered for lunch, dinner, and late night, serving food all the way until 2 a.m. Plus, enjoy happy hour every weekday from 2 to 6, and don't miss 2-for-1 Sundays. That's Beyond the Edge, 112 South 11th Street in East Nashville, your home for every game. We are back. Last segment, we addressed whether or not we think the dramatic performance shift is real. This segment on this shortened show is to discuss what will make or break that reality. I do want to let everyone know that we're going to talk as much hockey as we can. So when we have 1 minute left, our producer, Brandon, will break in with a 1 minute warning, and we'll transition immediately out of the show so we can maximize our time. But until then, and what has to happen for this reality to stay, for them to make it? And again, making it doesn't mean going to the Stanley Cup championship. It means staying on this path that takes them to, what would you say, playoff berth, maybe?
Yeah, I think that would be a great ceiling. If the Nashville Predators want to continue to grow, continue to improve, there are a couple areas that, you know, we need to talk about. I think the first one is Nashville needs a little bit more from a few players, and specifically, you know, I'm thinking of the fourth line. We're talking about Reid Schaefer, Michael McCarron, Cole Smith. Now, shout out to Reid Schaefer. In 19 games, he's got 4 goals and 5 points, but he's also blocking shots, winning puck battles. You know, he's a very heavy forechecker. He's helping out on the penalty kill. So you're seeing a lot of great things from another young forward that the Nashville Yes. Predators developed. But I do think that his role is a fourth line role. So you are seeing him succeed almost immediately in the NHL with McCarron and Smith. But that fourth line has generated some really high quality offensive chances. Would love to see that line cash in. They're doing all of the work. They deserve to get some of the reward for that. So a little bit more just finishing from the fourth line. And also, we got to talk about Fedor Svechkov and Matthew Wood, two other young players that have a tremendous amount of potential. Sean, Matthew Wood, a healthy scratch for the last two games now. And this is one of those situations where Barry Trotz is going to have to wrestle with, do I want to sacrifice his development for this stretch of the season to get this team in a wild card spot? Or am I really committed to developing young talent and putting them with veterans? Because right now you've got Svechkov and Wood together with Tyson Jost. That's not necessarily a recipe for success for Svechkov or Matthew Wood, when both of them would benefit from having a veteran alongside them.
Well, I agree with you, but, you know, who are you going to take away from a veteran? Do you want to take advantage
right.
of Bisto? And that's
right.
that's kind of the situation you're in is, you know, we've seen this team for a long time not have the room for young players to come up. And now, well, you do have the room for young players to come up, but who can you realistically pair them with to get them that kind of a skilled veteran presence I think they need on their lines to be able to develop in the NHL, as opposed to playing, say, on the first line in the AHL, correct?
Correct. And again, when you have a Steven Stamkos or a Luke Evangelista, a Ryan O'Reilly playing so well, you don't necessarily want to interrupt that. But Barry Trotz is going to have to navigate that very narrow pathway of what is the most important thing. Is it going to be making the postseason, or is he going to stay committed to the path of developing these young players? And I think watching how this unfolds with a Matthew Wood, with a Fedor Svechkov, you know, and seeing how the Nashville Predators continue to land in the rankings is going to be a really interesting, it's going to be an interesting path for Trotz to navigate when it comes to developing these young players.
And also, of course, have to take into consideration at some point, Jonathan Marchessault will rejoin the lineup.
Correct.
Which will have to force a shift there, because you're already playing with a forward healthy scratch. Then you kind of just insert him back into the lineup and that healthy scratch just remains, right?
Yes. So it's going to be interesting to see what Andrew Brunette opts to do when Jonathan Marchessault is back to 100% and ready to come back in that lineup.
So what else is going to make it for this reality?
I think, and there's an article that I just put out earlier this week where I dive into, I just was drowned out by advanced statistics, but very interesting picture it paints. Nashville has got to have better starts. The Predators have only scored first in 13 of 42 games. They continued that 7-game trend of giving up the first goal first against Edmonton. And against Edmonton, they were not able to win that game. They have been doing a good job digging out, but you simply have to have better first period starts, better early first period starts for the Nashville Predators.
Well, and I think, you know, desperation can only go so far. Getting behind early, playing desperate can do a lot of things. When you're playing against a team that has Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on it, that's not always going to work. Unfortunately, those are the types of teams you're going to see in the playoffs. And deeper into the playoffs, you're going to have to be able to beat those teams. And it's not always going to work getting down early and having to come from behind. We do have, of course, some upcoming games, and it's going to be a pretty packed schedule up until the Olympic break. You know, what do you think needs to happen between now and then to feel good about this current path?
Yeah, it's been interesting, like you mentioned earlier, the way the Western Conference is falling. Nashville really needs a good stretch leading up to the Olympic break. There's 15 games. You've got teams in the Western Conference like Chicago, Edmonton. You've got Colorado, Vegas, Utah, St. Louis, Minnesota. These are Western Conference teams that are either in playoff position or vying for playoff position. Right. Nashville really needs to bank points now. Their schedule in April, all Western Conference teams. So it's not that Nashville couldn't make a late push, but how about we just not have to add the stress? Bank some points up to the Olympic break, I think, will be really key for Nashville if they want to stay in this conversation. I don't think that they can win that spot before the Olympic break because of how tight it is, but I do think they could lose it if they fall off a cliff here. So you want to bank these points leading up to the Olympic break.
Well, that leads us to what would break this path. Like, what would let you know that this isn't going to work out, that the team is most likely not going to make it into that final wild card spot in the playoffs?
Yeah, and here's the one that's very, very obvious, but I think we just have to put it out on the table, and injuries to some of your top players. You know, we've seen Jonathan Marchessault out of the lineup. We'll see how he does when he gets back in. But Sean, I don't like how this would go if Roman Josi misses more time. You know, so I think keeping these players healthy, and this is a struggle for every team. Every team deals with it. But I think for Nashville, they need a healthy team, especially with their top players, to really continue this pursuit of a playoff spot. So for me, you got to keep them healthy.
I agree 100%. And, you know, seeing that the team dramatically improved with the return of Roman Josi, something taking him back out would probably – regression would happen. And I guess regression also would be a concern with the success that Stamkos has had recently. That would probably go a long way, right? To say that things weren't going to go as well.
Yeah, I think if you see Steven Stamkos fall off, how Stamkos goes, so may the Nashville Predators go in this next stretch. Right now, Stamkos is shooting 18.4%. That is his best shooting percentage since the COVID-shortened season. He averages about 15.6% shooting percentage in between that great season and where he's at now. So he is performing very, very well. Can Steven Stamkos continue to perform that well offensively for the Nashville Predators? I think if Stamkos kind of comes back to earth or is injured, that's going to be a big blow to Nashville because he has been such a key component of their recent success. So for me, Stamkos coming back to earth, that could end Nashville's playoff hopes.
And I think there's one thing that I don't, it's the elephant in the room that keeps getting brought up everywhere you go. I'm sitting in the office the other day and another teacher walked by and says, are they training Ryan O'Reilly? And I was like, whoa, pump the brakes. Let's have a real honest conversation about clickbait. But here's the thing. There is a lot of chatter out there. The Predators have actually put out like, hey, this is what a healthy Ryan O'Reilly would cost on the free and open market here. My concern is, that if you see an O'Reilly trade, not that I'm saying I see one coming, but if you see an O'Reilly trade, I think that lets you know really quickly. And I mean, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Trotz isn't seeing this turnaround as proof of something more than what it is, which is, like you said, potentially an early exit in the playoffs, which I think fans don't necessarily want to see. And I don't think the team minds that as much. I think playoffs is better than no playoffs. The way the team sees it. I think most fans would see it that way too. I think you and I, other people who cover the team might go, probably not what you want to focus on. But if you see Ryan O'Reilly get traded off, then I think that is kind of, that's crossing the Rubicon, right? I let you know that, they don't believe in it. They're going to start selling people off. And because what happens if you trade O'Reilly?
Yeah, I think if you trade Ryan O'Reilly, you're going to see a drop off in production for players like a Luke Evangelista, even a Steven Stamkos. Ryan O'Reilly has been key for their success. And I agree with you. I think if Barry Trotz does accept a trade for Ryan O'Reilly, that tells you everything you need to know about what Barry Trotz thinks of this particular roster iteration's chances of making a deep playoff run versus sticking to the path of developing young players. So trading Ryan O'Reilly, I think, changes things dramatically short term for the Nashville Predators. And long term, that's a show for another day.
And not just on ice, but off ice as well. I think that's someone in that locker room, that veteran presence, that's a guy that I think every single person in that locker room respects, looks up to, emulates, plays for. I don't think it's just that they see him and go, oh, this is a cool guy to play with. Right.
Correct.
I think it's a guy that they say, I want to play well today, even if for no other reason, because Ryan O'Reilly's out here and I want to do well for him.
There's one remaining in the final segment.
Okay. You heard it there, folks. That's pretty much, we covered everything we had planned to cover. That's all the time we have for Penalty Box Radio tonight. We'll be back next week with another half hour show before Vanderbilt basketball. I'd like to thank Ann for joining me tonight, Brandon for producing, and the listeners for tuning in. Of course, if you missed it, we'll be on the podcast almost immediately after this. Penalty Box Radio is brought to you by Tennessee Valley Paving, Beyond the Edge East Nashville, Boston Commons, Green Ventures Landscaping, and Timber and Blade. We'll see you again next week.